Happy Easter, everybody. I have some good news for you. You kids, all of you kids, get to stay in church this morning. But I have even better news for you. It's not going to be very long. I only have to read the Old Testament to you. Folks, we've been reading through the Bible, starting with Genesis. We're going to go all the way through to Revelation. We're on this walk together, this journey, this Camino. It's been great. Right now, we've gotten up into the book of Judges. We finished with Joshua. We're into Judges. We're reading along in this Old Testament story about how the people of Israel are conquering lands that God has sent them into. And we come to Holy Week. For Protestant and Catholic churches, we come to the time of Jesus Christ, and here we are reading in Joshua, or Judges. And we say to ourselves, what can be the combination or the purpose in God's Word in Judges for us New Testament, New Covenant believers? And what a wonderful answer we get. Right in the beginning of this past week's reading, I just want to share with you a very short text. It's in Judges chapter 2. If you brought your Bibles, please turn to Judges chapter 2. I'm going to read verses 8 through 12 and then verse 17. As I'm reading, even though we're reading about a historical event, an accurate record of what took place then, I want you to be thinking about if God's Spirit could be speaking to us today. Is there anything relevant about God's Word to us today? Or is this just some old book? Let's hear the Word of the Lord. Joshua, son of Nun, the Eternal's servant, died at the age of 110 years and was buried within the borders of his inheritance at Timnath-Heres in the hills of Ephraim, north of Mount Gash. Now that whole generation, the generation that had walked with Moses, the generation that saw the walls of Jericho fall, that generation passed, and another generation grew up after them. So stop reading. Think of this. God worked miracles in the midst of his people. Amen? They were in trouble. They called out to him. He rescued them over and over and over. Yes? And Moses got them up to the promised land. God sent them in with Joshua conquering all of the lands that wouldn't yield to him. And that generation, all the generation that had seen these wonderful miracles, they went on to be with the Lord. But they were productive people. They were fruitful. They had children. And so what's going to come up after them? Another generation. So we read on. A generation that did not know the Eternal and had not seen the great works he had done for Israel. What happened? If you were among the generation who had seen the works of God, should not your children know about the works of God? That's why we do what we do up here. That's why churches have Sunday school and kids' dramas and youth ensembles. That's why we preach sermons and have Sunday schools and Bible camps. That's why we do what we do in this church business, is to raise up the next generation. So that when this generation passes on, which, by the way, is going to be terrific. Huh? But when this generation passes on, the next generation will come up. And I would like to be able to say with confidence that they're going to know the things of God. That's what we are to do. Consequently, this new generation served the gods of Canaan, the Baals, as they were called, doing what the Eternal God considered evil. They abandoned the Eternal One, the true God of their ancestors, who brought them safely out of Egypt. Instead, they began to serve the gods of their neighbors, the Canaanites, the folks in Forest Grove, Hillsboro, Manning, bowing before their images, causing the Eternal to burn with anger. Verse 17. This younger generation did not follow in their ancestors' example. My Easter message to you is one of congratulations for not making that mistake. Hallelujah. We will not be found as those who have not taught our young. Amen? We will be those that tell them the wonderful works that God has done. Tom said he could talk for a whole day about what God has done in his life. I recommend you call Tom up, invite him over for dinner. He may take you up on it and ask him to tell you the wonderful things God has done for him and Wanda. And Wanda has a great testimony also. Wouldn't it be good for us to know these wonderful things God has done? This is called testifying. This is called sharing your faith. This is called witnessing your belief system. In fact, what would happen when you guys got together socially if instead of just talking about sports or music or dance or whatever it is your kids' activities are, what would happen if we began to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ? Well, that's pretty radical. Because if we don't, we will start being drawn, it's not that we forget about him, but we get drawn to other things. We just gravitate to fun. We seek after pleasure. This is what we do. And bit by bit, in a very insidious way, it's not so much that I reject God as much as I'm just drawn into other activities. And we can't get away like so much of Europe does by saying Christianity's leadership is for the clergy. Who are the royal priests of the New Testament? We are. We are the royal priests. Who now has the holy book of God to read? We do. And we've done a good job of teaching our children how to read. Let's help them to read the Word of God. What a radical life transformational kind of thing it would be if we would not be like that generation who grew up, got old, died, and the new generation coming up after them didn't know the things of God. So I bless you today, this Resurrection Sunday. I applaud you for your faith and your dynamic testimony. I would declare that you are like faithful spies that can come in and say, this will be no problem for the Lord God. Whatever it is, wherever he wants to take you, you are able. Because he is able. Amen? Amen. God bless you this Easter Sunday morning, resurrected Lord Jesus. I hope you have lots of good food planned for the afternoon. I bless you in his great name, and I look forward to seeing you very soon. Amen? Amen. Church, you are dismissed.